Very interesting Gemara in Masechet Sukkah. Mikdash ha'asid she'anu mitzapim banui u'meshuchlal hu yigalev yavo mishamayim she'nemar Mikdash Hashem kornu yodecha. The future base of Mikdash, which we anticipate, will be revealed and will arrive fully built and complete from heaven, as it states in Mikdash, my Lord, that your hands created. So the question that the Mefarshim ask is, well, how do you then reconcile that with the Rambam, who says that the Melech HaMashiach, one of the things he's going to do is to build the Beit HaMikdash? So is the Beit HaMikdash going to be built, coming down, fully made from Shemayim? Or is it going to be something that we're going to make ourselves? Further, Rav Schwab describes a further description of the future Yerushalayim is a posuk in Zechariah, and I will be for it the word of Hashem, a wall of fire all around, and for glory will I be in its midst. The Navi is telling us here at the time of the Ge'ula, the presence of the Shechina Yerushalayim will be as visible as a fiery wall, since it was a Kadosh Baruch Hu who set fire that destroyed Yerushalayim. It will be He that will rebuild it with fire, and that's the halacha. If you ignite somebody's field, you have to repay it. And this is indeed what we speak about in the Nachem, what we say on Mincha of Tisha B'Av, source 3 in the asterisk, Ata Hashem ba'esh hitzita, you Hashem with fire, you destroyed it, you consumed it, uba'esh ata atid livnota, and with fire, you will come to rebuild it. So the question is, how will the third base of Mikdash come down? Will it be come down as we have this vision of a fire base of Mikdash from heaven, or will it be something we build? What's this imagery in general that Yerushalayim will be rebuilt through fire? What's this imagery of fire? What's the experience of fire? These are all the questions that we need to understand. And we'll say at the outset, as well as obviously, what's our avoda during the 3 weeks? What should our mindset be? What should we focus it on? We'll say at the outset, our goal today isn't trying to be able to come away with one conclusion. This is what it will be. Rather, through analyzing the different aspects, we get a sense of a larger picture of what the avoda, of what our challenges are, what our work is all about. I'd like to try to take a look at this. Who's going to build the third base of Mikdash on 3 levels? Let's start with the first level. First level is based on Rav Schlesinger in his Mo'adim Sefer, where he brings down very interesting Gemara, which talks about, are you allowed to eat from the first grain? Usually it's Chadash, Korban Omer has to be brought. Well, what happens if the Beis HaMikdash isn't around? So then you would think that you could eat it right, you know, early, you know, the right on Pesach, right away you could eat from the first grain. So there's an opinion that says no, the Beis HaMikdash may be built that day. So if the Beis HaMikdash is built that day, you got to wait till the end of the day because the korban may still be brought. So Rashi asked, "Ech yitachen shivnei Beis HaMikdash b'tevav v'nisan shu yom echad shel chag haPesach?" Rashi asked, "Well, how can it be built on the first day of Pesach? We know that the building of the Beis HaMikdash is in Docha Yantif." So the answer that's brought is, Harimili binyan habanui bidei adam of a mikdash ha'asid shanu mitzapim banu mishuklahu yigalev yavo mishamayim shenamar mikdash Hashem kornu yodecha. That's true that we can't build a base of mikdash, but it could come down from heaven. And if it could come down from heaven, and we're told mikdash Hashem kornu yodecha, the third base of mikdash is kornu yodecha, it's going to be something that Kadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol is going to build, so then Itaka could come down Pesach morning, and we would have to wait to eat Chadash, the new grain. So the Mefarshim ask on this, well, hold on a second. How can you say that the third base of Mikdash is going to be coming down from Shemayim, already built? Then in Cain, Ech Yikaimu B'nei Yisrael Mitzvah Naseh, Shal Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Shilimei Rapasuk, Vasuli Mikdash Shechati B'tochem.
ah, isn't there b'feirush a mitzvah that we have to build a Beis HaMikdash? Vasuli Mikdash, we build a Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem will dwell among us. So it seemed that the responsibility to build a Beis HaMikdash is on us. So then how could the third Beis HaMikdash come down, already built from heaven, when the onus is on us to build it? So he brings here from the Siddur HaGra, the Peirushiach Yitzchak, and the Musaf of the Shlosh Regalim, an insight from Rabbi Yoshua Lake Diskitz, that's out. We say in the Musaf of Yontif, V'har'enu b'vinyano, allow us to see it's being rebuilt, V'samchenu b'sikuno, and let us rejoice in its establishment, in its fixing, so to speak. So here, what's a double language? So there's a medrash which is found in source 6. The medrash is on the pasuk in Eicha. Tavu ba'aret shahareha. Her gates have sunk into the earth. By saying that the gates sank into the earth, the verse tells us they were not taken by the enemy as were many other objects of the temple. The medrash explains, Rabbi Huna said in the name of Rav Yosef, the gates showed honor to the holy ark. Therefore, the enemy did not assume control over them by taking them into exile along with the other vessels of the temple. So, right? Because the gates showed honor to Hashem, the gates, kivyachol, are rewarded by having just sunk into the earth, the original gates of David HaMelech, and those were untouched by the enemies. And he says, that's pshat here, that those gates that were sunk into the ground, the Melech HaMashiach and the people are going to re-dig those gates and re-establish them. They're going to dig up those gates and re-establish them. So the third Beis HaMikdash is going to come down from Shemayim, Mikdash Hashem Kodem Yotecha. Ah, what about Vasuli, Mikdash HaShachanti V'Tocham, that we have to be the ones building it? What part are we going to build? We're going to build the gates that are surrounding the Beis HaMikdash. Now I understand what we say in the Musaf. We say, V'hareinu b'vinyano, Hashem, show us the binyan, show us the building, show us the third Beis HaMikdash. What is our role in this? V'samcheinu b'tikuno, that we will rejoice in the fact that we will have the tikkun, we will have the final touches. And he brings the Gemara that says that whoever finishes a building is called on their name. So it will be as if we built it, because we finished the gates around it, the finishing touches by digging up those gates and reestablishing them. And the building itself will be built by Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this is hinted at a Piderach Drash in 7C on the next page, when we say Mizmor Shir, Chanukah Sabayis L'David. And the obvious question is, why is it Chanukah Sabayis L'David? The house wasn't built by David HaMelech, it was built by Shlomo HaMelech. Because we go on to say, Arumimcha Hashem Ki Dilisani. I rejoice Hashem Ki Dilisani. Dilisani literally means you've raised me up, which is a reference to, play on words, Dili Sani from Delet. I'm rejoicing, V'samcheinu b'tikuno. The rejoicing is in the fact that the gates will be Delet, Dili Tani, will be raised up, will be brought up from the ground, and that will be the finishing touches of the Beis HaMikdash. So just like David HaMelech established the gates of the Beis HaMikdash, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Rabbeinu David, we too will have the Beis HaMikdash called on our name because we have the finishing touches of the final Beis HaMikdash. What will make us worthy that we should be zoche to reestablish those gates? So the answer is we have to be good gatekeepers. Only if we know how to work on our own gates, can we be zoche, can we merit to rebuild the gates? What does this mean? So there's a Gemara that we've done before in Sichar Eliyahu Rav Elia Roth in source number 8. The Gemara talks about different signs that were found 40 years before the Churban, before the destruction, that were like warning signs. You know what? The Churban, the destruction is on its way. Like, for example, from all the years, when the Kohen Gadol would draw lots, which animal would go Lashem and which Lazazel over the cliff on Yom Kippur, it always came up in his right hand. 40 years before, it came up the right hand and the left hand. It was arbitrary. There was a near Maravik. There was a westernmost candle that lit until the morning. 40 years before, it stopped lighting till the morning. Those were like telltale signs Churban is happening. One of the signs at that time, in the asterisk in 8, Daltot HaHechel Niftachot Ma'alehem, the gates of the Hechel opened by themselves. V'hainu Shu Parutz Eino Sagur, Nitan Likanez Kolorza Yechol Likanez. The gates were supposed to be closed. Suddenly, they opened and closed. It was like a free-for-all. What does this mean symbolically? That when something is closed, it means it's shamor, it's guarded, it's safe. When something opens, it means that anything can come and go. Be'er inyan hisha, Rebbe Samigdash hayta chova shmiro. We know the Rebbe Samigdash needed continuous watching. Achomotayich Yushalayim, Yifkarati Shamim, Kol Yom Chol Laila. On the gates of Yushalayim, there were continuous watchers. And now suddenly, that aspect of closed, of guarded, like you never see, look into any shul, anywhere in the world, you'll never see the Aron Kodesh open. And even after they take out the Torah, what do? They close it right away. We don't keep it open. V'alimur avureinu. So it's no longer shomer, it's no longer kept private. V'alimur avureinu in 9. Shadam Avhu Kedumat Hechal Hashem. We're also many based on Migdash. V'gamu tzarich liot shamor. We also have to be guarded. Mechamat Kvodo, because of our honor. Mechamat Maloto, because of our greatness. And we have to recognize we can't see whatever we want to. We can't hear whatever we want to. We're created in the image of Hashem. And any Makom Chashuv in the bracket in 9, any place that is important, Hu Makom Shamor V'gador, it's guarded. Right? Who I know, Makom Hefker. Imagine a king's palace. No one can just walk into the king's palace, Buckingham Palace. There are gates, and then there will be guards, and there are more guards, and more doors, and more guards. And you just can't walk in. And the same thing holds true with us. We can't just have everything come in and out. There has to be doors. There has to be gates. When we know how to establish our gates, we know when to close things off, we know how to create that level of privacy, that is when we, as good gatekeepers, are going to be worthy to rebuild the ultimate gates around the future Beis HaMikdash. This leads us to idea number 1 of what the 3 weeks are about. 3 weeks begin on Shivat Sabbat Tammuz. What happened at Shivat Sabbat Tammuz? The walls were broken down. So we're going to be using a lot today, Mirtz Hashem, a sefer called Why We Weep. It's a collection of essays from great Rabbanim, short, very short essays, mamish every day for the 3 weeks, and we'll be taking a lot of little snippets from the sefer. So the first is going to be from Rav Reisman, Why We Weep. He says, what happens when the wall around, source number 10, a city falls down? The enemy is free to attack. However, that's not the real tragedy of Shivat Sabbat Tammuz. That has to do with physical danger. On this day, we're not mourning over the physical jeopardy in which Klal Yisrael found themselves at that time. More dangerous was the destruction of the barrier between the Jews and the Goyim. Jews and Golos are no longer isolated from outside influences. The avails of Shivat Sabbat Tammuz is the loss of this wall, the barrier that protected Kedushas Yisrael. All 3 weeks, it begins on Shivat Sabbat Tammuz. The end is the ultimate destruction of Tisha B'Av. What we're mourning now is that the protection, the walls, have been broken down. And my friend, he goes on to say, you know, it used to be over the period, different periods of Jewish history, that Jews lived in ghettos. They lived away from others. And you clearly understood that this was a Jewish culture and you were protected. Today, Jews and Goyim live intermixed together. But you still had the Kedusha Sabayit, you still had the holiness of the house. In today's day and age, you don't even have that protection of the walls of the house because technology has infiltrated into the house itself that the walls have been broken. There's no level of protection. Anything goes. You would not believe how many times in the past few years I've had to deal with couples from B'nai Torah, where a wife discovers that her husband is looking at inappropriate material at home. Employers call me when they catch their firm employees falling prey to this type of influence. I hear it again and again. People tell me, I heard that Gedolei Yisrael talk about the internet. I thought they don't know what they're talking about, that they're from Mars. And then they find out the Gedolim were right. Yom Gavar Hoyeva Tibaka Ha'ir. The influence of the outside world is an Avelus from thousands of years ago, but the Avelus is intensified today. And what about the children? You think you can hold back your child? You can't stop a child. A child who has a $10 bill can buy a prepaid phone and have the internet available to him. Do you think it's possible to stop him? We need protection from the influences that corrupt, the influences that destroy. It's a time to try to feel the Avelus. It's hard to weep if you think you have nothing to cry about. We do. We have to reflect on Vatibaka here. We have to reflect on the loss of the Choma, the wall, the protected Klai Yisrael from the influence of the secular world around us. You know, it's interesting. I just heard this from a friend of mine within the last 2 weeks, that a very chashuv shadchan said to this person, you know, there's a great game on the internet, I'm not going to be very vague here, that ask questions that will be very good to stimulate conversation in the among a couple. You can download it for free, and they're great questions to ask. So this person trusted the shadchan and went on the internet, and they were shocked to see that the questions were so inappropriate. Okay, so obviously you can pick and choose. That's not the question. They were just shocked to see how in open. Like, these are the type of questions you would ask. It was so inappropriate, and it's so out there, and it's so in the open. There's, we spoke about a few weeks ago, there's no bashfulness. There's no sense of privacy. There's no sense of any form of sneas. Sneas is out the window. Vatibakahir, and our job in 14 and 15, says the Sichar Eliyahu, is to do this introspection and to ask ourselves, where are we? Zahiros, ask ourselves, are we where we're supposed to be? You know, sometimes he says in Source 15, he says, very often the teva of Adam chai hu lazuz v'lanua. The nature of a person is to move a little bit. So, you know, this year I was a little bit lax on. I got major, don't get me wrong, but I wasn't as careful on. And the next year I'm not as careful on. You know, every year, if you move a quarter of an inch, or even 3 inches, after a while, you're not on the same page as you were 10 years before. And we just say, I just moved a little bit, so I wasn't so careful about this aspect, or that aspect, or this kashrus, or this aspect of Lashon Hara, whatever it is. We have to re-examine ourselves. What are our rules? What are we ready to, what areas have I shifted just slightly that I need to shift back on a practical level during the 3 weeks to pick one aspect. Whatever period of time you're listening to this year, it could be a few days before Tisha B'Av, it doesn't matter. What area can I say, let me rebuild a wall that I have broken in my life? Or build a wall in something that I have never tried to fence it, just for between now and Tisha B'Av. Right, four, great. Now in Rosh Hashanah, even better. But, you know, I'm comfortable looking at, you know what, let me build a wall, let me not see. I'm comfortable hearing, let me not hear. Whatever it is, comfortable saying, let me not say. And if we start building those walls back up, we'll become those gatekeepers. We'll become those ones who are going to be Zocha as a nation to rebuild the ultimate gates, the ultimate walls around the base of Mikdash. That, my friends, is level number one. Level number two. So on level number one, Beit HaMikdash is going to come down, fully built from Ribono Shel Olam. We're just putting up the final gates, the final touches. Level number two, again, Rabbi Reisman in the Sefer, Why We Weep. There's a Gemara in Zvachim that questions as follows. When David HaMelech was Makdish, when he sanctified the Beit HaMikdash, was he only Makdish the tiles of the Beit HaMikdash? Or was he Makdish all the way down through the ground? The problem with this question is that David HaMelech didn't build the Beis HaMikdash, and David HaMelech didn't put the tiles into the Beis HaMikdash. The question should be, did Shlomo HaMelech Makdish it all the way to the ground? So Tosfos was bothered by this, and he said that David HaMelech gave a Kedusha. What does this mean? 17. We learn from Tosfos there are two levels of Kedusha, of holiness, in the Beis HaMikdash. Here's the actual structure. The gold, the silver, the tiles. That's the actual structure. And that was Shlomo HaMelech. Bracket in 17, and then there's a second aspect that David HaMelech gave Kedusha to, the Musak, to the concept, to the idea there would be a Beis HaMikdash. We say, Vayvarach David by Shachris every day, that David HaMelech's bracha after that successful appeal. That's why it's a minhag during Vayvarach David to give tzedaka. He gave the appeal to raise the money. Vayvarach David was his bracha after Vayvarach David. He blessed it after that successful appeal, and you'll see in many sigdurim a little asterisk by the words va'kavod va'osher milfanecha, honor and wealth in front of you, to give tzedaka at that point. To remind ourselves of this, by Baruch David was made at this appeal. So really, there are two parts to the Beis HaMikdash. There's a physical part of the Beis HaMikdash, which Shlomo was involved in, and then there was the emotional part. Tzamel chanafshi, the cheshek. My soul yearned for the courts of Hashem. That aspect of the desire, of the cheshek, of the desire to rebuild, that came from David HaMelech. And that, my friends, is why we say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LaDavid. Ah, he didn't build it. You're right. He didn't build a physical structure. Harachaman Yoakim Lanu with Sukkas, which is referring to Beit HaMikdash. David on the fellow. Ah, David Melton built it. He didn't build a physical building. He gave the tshuka. He gave the desire to build it. And that Ratzon is found. Tocho Ratzuf Ava. That's what's found within the Beis HaMikdash. That's what permeates the Beis HaMikdash. And he says that Ratzon is what is still alive. The stones and the woods, towards 20, the bang, Cheney are gone forever. Bayit Shlishi will not look anything like Bayit Sheni. What's still alive? The Panemius, the Cheshek, the Tshuka, the Ratzon, which Klai Yisrael throughout the generations have wept for the Bayit Shlishi. In the language of the Midrashim, the tears add stones to Bayit Shlishi. Each time we weep, each time we have a true desire for it, that's its Panemius. We give it the inner aspect. And this, says the Shlishi Pinchas in 21, is the way the Aruch Laner reconciled. Well, who exactly is building it? Is it Hashem or is it Melech HaMashiach? And he says, in reality, Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef will build the third space of Mikdash Lasi Lavo with human hands. However, after the human part of the construction is completed, the Kadosh Baruch Hu will send down a base of Mikdash of fire from heaven. It will be enclosed by the base of Mikdash down below, which is construction with human hand, just like the neshama is enclosed within the human body. So we're going to build the third base of Mikdash according to the second level. Ah, what does it mean, Mikdash Hashem Karnu Yadecha? There's going to be a spiritual base of Mikdash. There's going to be that aspect, like David HaMelech's aspect, which was found within Shlomo HaMelech's building. That aspect is going to come from the Ribono Shel Olam. David HaMelech was privileged to build the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash in the merit of his yearning and pure intent in a similar fashion, 22 in the arrow, with Israel's fiery enthusiasm, sincere yearning throughout the generations despite the countless indignities and suffering endured throughout all the exiles. They're building the third Beis HaMikdash in a fire, representing the neshama of the third Beis HaMikdash that will descend from heaven into the Beis HaMikdash, which will be built by the Melech HaMashiach. And indeed, in source number 23, this is what the Nesiva Shalom speaks about. What is our avoda during the 3 weeks? The avoda in the third weeks is tshuka. The avoda in the third weeks is that enam mashlimim l'rega m'chad. We do not at any point say, okay, finish. No, we desire, we yearn for that rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Ad tshuka, that desire, are little sparks that we have that then fan the flames, ignites the flames of that ultimate third Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the Sichah Nischatzkut, Ratzvi Meir Zilberberg, in source 24, brings down a halacha that says, Shekodim kol tefilah Shmoneh Esrei, before Shmoneh Esrei, a person should remember the Beis HaMikdash. You should imagine that you're standing in front of the Beis HaMikdash. Tell tapios. So even our davening, I have to imagine that the Beis HaMikdash is here. That imagining, that yearning, that desiring, every time I do that, is just adding a greater spark to the ultimate Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, 25, this is Rav Arieli in the Sefer Why We Weep. We must do our part to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Any small measure of strengthening ourselves creates ripples in the heavenly spheres which it sits in its building. Bear Leibowitz, that's was wont to say, in regard to marriage and spirituality, there's no such thing as a small action. Even the minutest action can affect wonders in the realms of spirituality. If one would like to suggest an area which improvement can be made, I would suggest the following: Chazal instituted in our three times prayer, daily prayer, as well as in Birkas HaMazon, our yearning for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Perhaps at least during these 3 weeks of mourning, we should try to improve our focus and concentration when we recite these brachos. It will help us feel the loss of the Beit HaMikdash. And indeed, in 26, when we comfort somebody, we say, HaMakom Yinachem Etchem, you should be comforted among the mourners of Zion. We're basically saying is, why do we have these tragedies today? They are a result of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, that Hashem should comfort you among all the mourners of Zion. We're all mourning, and we have to feel that level of mourning and recognize the state we're in is because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So on the second level, the first level, of course, Baruch Hu's building everything, we're just building the final touches. The second level, we're building the second Beis HaMikdash. Hashem is giving us the what? He's giving us the fire inside, the passion, the spirit of that third Beis HaMikdash. That's going to come from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Our job is to create that fire, make it bigger and bigger. And that's every time we have that shuka, we're just bringing that flame higher and higher, hotter and hotter, to be able to be brought down at the right time. That's the second level. The third level is based on a piece from Chazon Lamoed, Rav Shapira, who says the following. There's a very famous Ramban at the end of Parashat Achrei Maos. The Ramban says that the Chol Umos Ha'olam Natanu L'Hashkocha Marechen HaKochavim V'Mazalos, Marechen HaTeva. For the whole world, Hashem allows them to be led by the natural order. Ulam Yisrael Nivcharu Liyo Munhagim Ha'Yideu Yidbarach V'lo Yidei Sarimu Mazalot. But we, Kichilek Hashem Amo, are not ruled by leaders or other emissaries. We're ruled directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the place where we have the most intense Hashkocha Prati is Eretz Yisrael. There's no one ruling Eretz Yisrael. Aynei Hashem Lekechavam, Ereshi Hashanah, Achrit Hashanah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one. From Ereshi Hashanah to the Achri Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's watching over us. That's the level of intensity of connection between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. We'll make mention here, almost parenthetically, in 29 and 30, that these 3 weeks are called Bein HaMitzarim. And the classic understanding of Bein HaMitzarim is the narrow straits, the two problems we had, the Shivas HaMitzarim with the Chet HaEgel, Tisha B'Av is the Meraglim. Between these two calamities, between Shavuos HaRetamos and Tisha B'Av, it's Bein HaMitzarim between the narrow straits. The Shulchan Pinchas brings down a Gevaldik insight in 29 and 30 that all the parashios that we read every year at this time of year, right? This year, Pinchas was read by Chutz Laretz during the 3 weeks. Eretz Yisrael was read on Shavuos HaRetamos, which is also the 3 weeks, even though we hadn't yet fasted. Pinchas, Matos, Maaseh, Dvarim have one theme in them, and that is the Nachla of Eretz Yisrael, the borders of Eretz Yisrael, right? Pinchas is about Lodot Slavcha, giving out the land, Matot, Ruven, Shimon, Gad, Ruven, Gad, Chosin, Shev, Manasseh, Maaseh is Varashtem at the Eretz, the whole borders of the land, and Dvarim as well has mention of the borders and go and inherit the land. Bein HaMitzarim, he says, means literally between the borders of Eretz Yisrael. That this is a time to yearn for us to return to the borders and for Hashem to return to the borders. Now, let's just take this idea of our Hashem's relationship with us a little bit deeper. We'll do most of it outside because of time constraints. We'll start in source number 28. Hadhagazu shelomala miderech hateva, the aspect of above the natural order, is, which is unique for Yisrael, it's found in the bris, in the covenant that Kadosh Baruch Hu had with Avraham Avinu. Really, Hashem had two types of covenants. He had a covenant with Noah, right, after the Mabel, and it's interesting, in that section where Kadosh Baruch Hu has his covenant with Noah, it mentions the word bris, covenant, seven times. And seven, obviously, is a natural world. And then he has a covenant with Klal Yisrael, which is Avravinu, which is by the Bris Milah, and there it's mentioned the word Bris 13 times. What is 13? The Yudgol Midos Harachamim, the 13 attributes of mercy in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with Klal Yisrael. So there is a covenant with the nations. The covenant with the nations is a covenant of nature, the Teva, the world, the seventh. The covenant with us is above the natural order. It's 13. It's gematria of Echad. It's gematria of Ava, of oneness, of love. It's that special connection we have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. When did this connection begin? When did we begin to become Kichelek Hashem Amo? That happened at Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim. We left Egypt. Tavtuno Elokim Al Harazeh, Mamad Har Sinai, we became Hashem's special nation. We moved into Eretz Israel and we lived for a while happily ever after. And then, and there in Eretz Israel, you had the miracles that happened in the Beis Hamikdash all the time. You felt that intense connection between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then we have Churban. And then we have destruction. Now here's the question for us. When we're living in Eretz Israel, it's so clear. Hashem loves us. It's manifested everywhere. What happened to that bris? What happened to that covenant when we're not in Eretz Yisrael? What happens to that covenant when we're far away? So here, my friends, we come to the key of the third level. Let's do this inside. We know there's a very famous Gemara that says, we all know this Gemara, Kishem, the Dan in 32. Kishem shemisha nichnas av mimati besimcha. Just like when Av comes in, we diminish our joy. Kach, likewise, mishenichnas Adar marbim besimcha. When Adar comes in, we increase our joy. So if we thought about it, we don't usually think, but if we were to think, then we would think the following. What's the connection? When Av comes in, we're sad. And likewise, Kishem, just like we're sad in Adar, likewise, it's like a linkage here, we're happy in Adar. Being sad in Av has anything to do with being happy in Adar? Like the way my kids would say it, Maha Kesher, what's the connection? So here goes, my friends. So we know the Gra points out in Megillat Esther. What was the greatness of the Nes Purim in the bracket? V'de'ikar yuchudo shel Nes HaPurim hu b'tarte is twofold. L'fisha Nes, nasa Nes b'zman ha'galus. The miracle happened at the time of exile, shu zman hester panim, which is the time of concealment. V'Nes atzmo nasa b'tocha hester. The miracle happened within this concealment. And the nation of Sebisman Harris Pani, when there's a miracle, when God is clearly manifested, so we don't even think twice, okay? Another miracle. The greatness is when there's a miracle at the time of concealment. And that, my friends, Mvuar Bitvarav the Dafka Mitocha Karabashkachatoy Barachaleam. Specifically, Purim is about being able to recognize in the time of darkness, Bisman Hester Panim, they reach such a level of closeness to Hashem where they recognize that even in this darkness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Now, my friends, we can put it all together. Kishem shemichnas amimati besimcha dahainu bechorban beisam migdash yistir HaKadosh Baruch Hu panav ma'amo v'yardu Yisrael legalos. What does it mean, Mishenichnas Amamati Mesimcha? When Av comes in, we diminish our joy because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer in that open, manifested way. And that's the basis of the mourning. Umatzav Zeshel Hester Panim Hu Gama Garem Vamiuchadat Shuas Purim. That very morning, the shame that we're Mamatim Mesimcha when Av comes, that very morning, Kishem, is what leads us to the Simcha of Adar. Because of Av, because of Menachem Av, when we have the Shechina leaving us, and we're in a level of Hester Panim, that then leads to the joy of Adar, that even in the time of Hester Panim, we We feel Hashem's tremendous love for us. We feel that closeness to us. That's the linkage, and that's the message. We know in 34 that when the Jewish people, the time of the Churban, were going, were sent into Golos, the Kruvim were Urim Zubazu, the Kruvim were embracing one another. And the obvious question is, hello, we're not doing the will of God, we're being sent out. What does it mean that the Kruvim were embracing each other, and this is Pshat? Hashem is saying, yes, there's no longer an open, manifested aspect of our relationship. But don't think for a moment that that doesn't mean the bris, the covenant, the ahava, the love isn't there. The love is still there. It, albeit it's going to be on a more concealed level, granted. But know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us is eternal. Know that even in a time of Golos, even in a time of Purim, you'll have HaKadosh Baruch Hu being manifested. That's the simcha that Hashem never leaves us. And hence we have, when we describe the Kapitel Tehillim, Ayin Tet, Mizmor La'asaf 35, Elokim Ba'u Goyim Benachlasecha, right? This is a song to Asaf that the nations have come into Hashem's home. And Chazal asks, Mizmor La'asaf? It should say Kina La'asaf. It should be a something sad, not a song. What is the aspect of the song? The aspect of the song is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the physical building, but the relationship with us has never been diminished. The Hainu Bibisrefas Beis Hashem Loi Taziva. He didn't leave us with the burning. The Eloi Taziva Loi Anishamas Don Yisrael Sarita Palit. If he would leave us, we wouldn't be around today. Ela Beirhi Disrefas Beis Hashem Mevatar Etzilu Kashchina Mekoma Mikdash. What was the burning of the Beis HaMikdash? It means that Hashem is leaving His intense presence from the Beis HaMikdash and now going into a different modus operandi of still watching over us in a Hester Panim way. And that is the Mizmor. This we can appreciate in 36. That famous kina that we sing, that's why most people know it, B'tzeiti Mimitzrayim, B'tzeiti Mimshalayim. And there's this comparison that seems like a, you know, it's a very sad kina. All the kinas are, right? B'tzeiti Mimitzrayim, when we left Mitzrayim, we had Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, and we had the Chatzrotzros, and we had the Mishkan, and we had all these wonderful things. And B'tzeiti Mimshalayim, when we left Mimshalayim, what did we have? We had destruction, and these items were taken into Golos, and it compares the two. He says on a deeper level, what is this kina about? 36. What was B'tzeiti Mimitzrayim? What was the leaving of Egypt about? Leaving Mitzrayim, we then entered into being the Chelek Hashem Amo, becoming Hashem's special nation. V'zeu yesod ha'emunah bokap in B'tzeiti Mimitzrayim. And that's what's screaming out with every stanza. B'tzeiti Mimitzrayim, when I left Mitzrayim, Hashem was so clearly with us. We felt Hashem's presence. Osa emunah mamash. That same emunah, that same understanding of connection screams out, Bokad, mein habetzeiti Yerushalayim, when we left Yerushalayim. Ela degula Mitzrayim hechela hanagazu beharas panim. What's the only difference? When we left Mitzrayim, habetzeiti Mitzrayim, it was with haras panim. It was with a shining face. Ubelel tishba vechela hanagazu b'malach hadashel hester panim. And when B'tzeiti Yerushalayim, it's still about Hashem's relationship. We are still Kichelek Hashem Amo. The only difference is, well, B'tzeiti Mimitzrayim, when we left Mitzrayim, it was in an open, revealed way. Now when we leave Yerushalayim, it's in a concealed, Hester Panim type of way. But both, we have to understand, it's a Machshir Yisrael Lanhaga Shachelek Hashem. And this is the essence of what this period is about, is to recognize that albeit we don't have the open manifested way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still very much with us. Which now leads us to the next page in 37 to understand the imagery of fire. He quotes here from Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chafer that what is fire? Fire is something that consumes the other elements, right? You just take fire and it just burns everything that comes in its way. It's like something that is lamala mehateva, above the natural order. Mevor midvarav in the asterisk in 37, Shashem Eish mevatet hanagash lamal miderech hateva. Fire is above the natural order. Now we can appreciate Ata Hashem ba'esh yitzitia, you Hashem with fire put it aflame, Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash. V'haynu dechor bar abayit haya gilui mechudash al hanagah shel amalu miderech hateva. El shetaya malach shel hester panim. When you, Hashem, listen closely, because it's reframing this. When you, Hashem, destroy the Beis HaMikdash with fire, Mizmor Lasof, it's a song, because the fire showed that you are coming from above the natural order, right? Remember Har Sinai? It was an Ashan, it was full of smoke. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down, the Amud Anan and the Amud Eish, the fire represents the ability for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence to be felt. At the moment that Hashem Kivyochol is burning the Beis HaMikdash, at that very moment He is showing that my presence, my interrelationship with you is going to be through fire. It's going to be through closeness. Not in a way that was revealed, but in a way that is concealed. V'zehare omek inyam kila chamasol avtzim v'avanim k'mvor alayim. U'be'esh ati livnosa. And what does it mean that with a fire He'll rebuild it? Listen closely. If with a fire He destroyed it to show us, k'shem shenichnas adam mati m'simcha kach m'shenichnas adam marbi m'simcha, that the fire represents that Hashem is still with us. It's l'malo min ha-teva, it's above the natural order. K'chelek Hashem amo, albeit it's concealed. But know that when Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, He's there with us. In the future, when Hashem rebuilds Yerushalayim and the third Beis HaMikdash with fire, it means that the manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be so clear that you're going to feel that Lamala Min HaTeva, the above natural order, which is represented by fire. Vayashem Lamelech Okolara. Ha'idna, now when we have tragedy, we say Baruch Dynamis. In the future, we'll say Atova Meiti. And not only that, what it means that in the future Hashem is going to rebuild Yerushalayim with fire, it means that we will be able in retrospect to see that all that has occurred to us was for the good. That all that occurred to us was coming from intimacy with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's the deeper and the arrow understanding of Hamakom Yunachem Etchem, that the bracha, the nechama that we give of a mourner is that the Beis HaMikdash should come soon. You should be comforted among the mourners of Zion. The mourners of Zion, how will they be comforted? They will have this great fire, which represents symbolically HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability to come down and manifest Himself, where we'll see Hashem so clearly, and we'll see everything was for the good. The nechama is that you too will come to a point where you will see with clarity of why everything seems to happen. What will the third Beis HaMikdash look like? I don't know. I don't know if we're going to build it, Hashem's going to build it on the third level. But one thing I know, that the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the fire, is a clear representation where everything will make sense. Where that connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam will be so open and manifested. But until then we have to realize that Hashem has never left us. Rav Feivel Cohen in the Sefer Why We Weep, throughout the generations, and for Klal Yisrael today as well, this is most relevant. The Churban destroyed only the physical manifestation of the Beis HaMikdash, removing the visible presence of the Shechinah from us. But in truth, all our Yeshuas, all of our salvation, throughout the Doros, all the incidences where we were protected, rescued, or had calamities averted, come from the Ashras HaShechinah in our midst. We just saw this, I think it was 2 nights ago. I can't even remember anymore. It's been a long week, Baruch Hashem. Where I'm pulling up, it's late at night, into a parking spot. A taxi driver is pulling out, and a girl walked right past the taxi driver. And she didn't even realize that he almost went into her. It was like, you know, so my daughter said, like, a person doesn't even realize a miracle happened to them. It was almost a miracle that the taxi driver did not go into her. And where do these calamities being averted come from? The Rebbe Shalom is watching over us.
It was represented in a visible way by the Beis HaMikdash, but some level is still with us. We have it every day, even here in America. We have to remember that all sons of the Beis HaMikdash. Although Kadosh Baruch Hu removed the Shekhinah from us at the Churban, a vestige of the Shekhinah remains, so we can still come close to Ribbono Shel Olam. And my friends, really, that is our job during the 3 weeks. Our job during the 3 weeks, on level number one, being a gatekeeper. Look how we fenced it. Level number two, our davening. Yushalayim ircha berachamim tashuv. Focus more. Mizmor shir chanukah sabayitz l'david. Am I also being like a David HaMelech, bringing, adding that fuel to the flame? On the third level, this is a time to work on our just relationship through Ribbono Shel Olam. He's here. He's watching us. Where are we? When a Yiv was privileged, listen to this. This is Rav Mordechai Silver from the Sefer Why We Weep, right? You're going to say, why do I need to buy it? I have the whole thing in front of us. There's a lot more there, my friends. When a Yiv was privileged, sent to the Beis HaMikdash, he emerged with a whole new definition of chayim, of life. Listen to this. The Pasuk says that after Mamad Har Sinai, Klai Yisrael said, Hayom hazeh ra'inu ki daber Elokim et Adam v'chai, which literally translates to mean, on this day we have seen that Hashem can talk to man and he can live. Wow, we never thought that. Kadosh Baruch Hu can talk to people and you can come out alive. Right? Kilo yirani Adam v'chai. Usually you can't see me and live. The deeper meaning of this pasuk is just the opposite. On this day we have seen that when Hashem talks to a man, only then is he alive. When Hashem spoke to Klai Yisrael face to face at Mamad Har Sinai, that connection to Hashem, that revelation of Hashchina in this world, that is true chayim. The simple understanding of the pasuk is a statement of wonder. We have seen something we don't imagine we could see. Hashem talks to us and we remain alive. That's because our natural assumptions that a physical being cannot survive a face-to-face encounter with Hashem. Our mistaken definition of life is all based on the physical. However, when we came to the Beis HaMikdash, we rediscovered the Chaim HaMatan Torah, that only with a face-to-face connection are we truly alive. We promise we never forget. Deep in the heart of every Jew lies a connection to this Chaim. A longing and a yearning for the place, 40, where Hashem's Shekhinah once rested and where true living was experienced. The avoda of this time of year is to awaken this desire, double underline, to contemplate the meaning of Chaim and to feel the pain of the Shekhinah over the loss of the Simcha Liba. We need to rebuild by readjusting our priorities, by strengthening ourselves in Torah and Tefillah toward creating a better, deeper connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, by searching within ourselves for our connection to Chayim, our Dveikus to the Shekhinah. Recognize we're not alive. Recognize that the only life we have is connection to the Shekhinah. What am I doing in my day to really connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to really feel the aspect of life, of Chiyus? And he quotes here a Kapitel Tehillim, Ayin Zayin 77, 7 and 8. How le'olam yisnach Hashem v'lo yosif l'rsodo? Will Hashem leave me forever? Will He not want me again? I remember my song in the night and my spirit searched. I remember the time that I sang to Hashem when I sang the songs of Beit HaMikdash. But now I no longer how to sing. A wall of iron has been erected between me and my Creator. Vayechapes ruchi, and I search for my soul. I search for a soul alive with Chaim, the essence of life, the Pnimios. My spirit searches, the asterisk in 40, for a life in which all earthly pleasures that the Yitahara tries to sell to us are recognized for what they are. The trappings of keeping us from making our face-to-face connection. The good life, quote-unquote, the outside world has to offer isn't life at all. You know, sometimes people say, oh, the 3 weeks, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't listen to my music, I can't go to weddings, I can't go to this entertainment, I can't do things that are fun. You're right.
And you know, one of the reasons, aside from the Avelus, which is the second level of mourning for the Beis HaMikdash, you know what it's supposed to do? Not focus on, oh, I can't do this, oh, I can't do that. Focus in on, why am I doing these things? You're right, I'm doing them for entertainment. I'm doing them to have a good time, and we're supposed to have a good time. It's the summer, after all. It's a downtime. It allows me to remember that I spend much of my time distracting myself from my true self. By not putting on the music, by having time just being by myself, by not going every night out to a vort or to a wedding, I'm able to really focus. I'm able to look inside. And I'm able to ask myself the real question of what brings me chiyus, what brings me life. Right? The Siva Shomel speaks about that these 21 days are like the black background of the 21 days between Rosh Hashanah and Hoshana Rabbah. Kol rofeh yisigua ben amitzarim, the after rov, that all those who chase after rodfeh ka, all those who chase after Hashem, can find him. Rabbi Shmuel Salanter, you can reach greater levels on Tisha B'Av than you can even on Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur, because it's an intense time of really focusing on chiyus, on life. The Beit HaMikdash was a place where a person came and they felt alive. We have to create in our own lives this aspect of feeling alive. And feeling alive is through connection. It's through bringing the Ribono Shel Olam into my life. And for each and every one of us, through Torah, through Chesed, through Davening, whatever mitzvah it is. Let's end with two final ideas, two and a half. Again, from this Sefer we mentioned last week, that's my newest and latest, greatest choice to learn during the 3 weeks, talking about finding the Ribono Shel Olam. And for Elul, and again, I really recommend learning it with somebody. It's a safer because it's not just a read, it's a learning. Rabbi Yecheskel Elias Animamin, 41. So there's an Animamin, Rabbi Yosef Mashiach. In this he says, in his commentary to Hilchos Tevila, the Be'er HaTev cites the Mahari Tzemach's advice. The one who is experiencing a personal difficulty should have that difficulty in mind when reciting the words in Shmoneh Esrei in the Bruch of Atzemach David, Ki Lishu Ascha, Ki Vinu Kol Hayom, for we hope for your salvation all day long. The Marit Tzemach adds that on numerous occasions when hardships arose in his life, they were resolved after he had this intention. Ki Lishu Ascha, Ki Vinu Kol Hayom, Hashem, I'm yearning for your salvation. Please help me with a shidduch. Help me with parnasa. Help me with children. Help me with whatever it is, refuah. What connection is there between our problems and these particular words of davening? Why is this practice efficacious? The answer lies in reframing our personal problems as outgrowths of galus. Yes, we have difficulties, and they can be significant, but they are merely symptoms of a far worse disease, the malfunctioning of the world at large. Cure that disease and all the personal issues be resolved as well. This ability to think on a grander scale and view our personal suffering through the lens of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's distress with the state of the world empowers our tefillos and increases our likelihood of achieving the desired result. That small step of feeling his pain and asking for the world to reach its optimal state serves a powerful mechanism in solving the side effects of the absence of that state. So when I say Yeshua Asa Kivinu Kol Hayom, on one level I'm talking about the Yeshua. The ultimate Yeshua should be here. And then I'm talking about my personal Yeshua. Why are we having a Shidduch crisis? Why are we having so many health issues? Why are we having so much Parnassa issues? It's because we don't have a perfect world. I yearn for your salvation on the global level, and I recognize that my personal situation I'm in is really a mirroring of that larger issue. And we have to be able to hold on to both, as we'll talk about uno momento. You know, I read somewhere, I think it was Tsar Nikolai, I maybe got the Tsar wrong, was once in prison. And he was asked at one point while he was in prison that he could make one request. What would it be? So what did he ask for? He asked that, can I have some more mashed potatoes for lunch? And it was like the laughing stock of everybody. You could be asked to be reinstated as a Tsar, at least to get out of prison, and you're asking for mashed potatoes? And that's a perspective. Are we just focused on the mashed potatoes? And mashed potatoes are good, and they're important. But there's a larger picture here. Let us get out of prison, and you can have as much mashed potatoes as you want. And that's really seeing eye to eye with a problem.
42. But what about the need to yearn for Mashiach? Why is it so critical to our belief system? Why is it enough to believe that he will arrive one day? The answer is that yearning for Mashiach is not merely about the future. It's a powerful statement about the present as well. If something hurts, you scream. If you have a toothache, all you can think about is the dentist. If you're dealing with a serious problem, you're consumed with finding a solution. If you look at the state of the world and simply shrug it off, that is a terrible indictment of your inner sentiments. We express our yearning for a better existence repeatedly in davening. And here's one case, a place to think about. Aleinu. We conclude our prayer, which we conclude our tefillah. The first segment of the prayer speaks about the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the magnitude of His creation. We declare that although we stand in complete submission before Him, at this point His Shechina and resting place are up in the heavens. His radiance did not fully permeate the earth, as most of the world turns to other belief. We all alone enjoy that special bond with Him, recognize Him to Him as the one who created and runs the world, and that's what it's about. And then, the second paragraph begins, and therefore we put our hope in you, Hashem, our God, that we may soon see your mighty splendor. We look forward to the time when we no longer stand alone, when all humanity will recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu. What are the key words here? Al-Kain, and therefore, the first paragraph is what feeds the second. I firmly see and know the truth, ergo, I anxiously await the time when I'll see it bloom before my eyes. Our bow with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is glorious and beautiful, and I can't wait to share this experience with the entire world. The Be'er Heitei 43 adds another meaningful directive. He says, when you say this word, think about the Geula. So after 120 years, when Hashem says, did you yearn for the Geula? You say, yes, I really thought about it every single day. And really, my friends, the idea of yearning for this relationship with Hashem, the idea of not just I want to be something dust, but it goes one step further. I want to see this fire, and with fire you will rebuild. I want to see that the Betzeitim Mitzrayim will come again and will be replaced Betzeitim Yerushalayim, right? He may say, come out to Mitzrayim, our enemy flows. The future will be like Mitzrayim with that clarity of vision. When we're not living with that clarity of Hashem's presence here, it has to pain us. We have to, on the one hand, it's like the Sur Meira Seitov, we have to work on focusing on this relationship, bringing it to the fore in our lives, and the second, we have to realize how we're living in a world where we're living in a world that's the antithesis of feeling closeness to God. On any given day, we encounter plenty of situations that should spur us to Mitzapel Yeshua. When you hear someone ridiculing a particular form of mitzvah observance, when you notice a junior brother using a phone on Shabbos, when you witness infighting and rancor between the groups of Jews, when you see an observant Jew pay more attention to the pairing of his wine than to the questionable hands that poured that wine, does this bother you? Do you long for something better? Are you pained when you see how terrified believing Jews are to openly declare their conviction in many parts of the world? When you observe how online popularity trends dictate the principles and platform of society's leaders? Don't you think Kadosh Baruch Hu deserves better? And when you struggle with a difficult Gemara or fail to appreciate the radiance of Shabbos, doesn't the longing ache? When you taste the beauty of Yiddishkeit but recognize that the experience could be so much more profound, so much more tangible, do you yearn for more? Do you wish you could feel the connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu in every tefillah and every mitzvah? Be pained. Turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu and tell Him how you feel. Achakelo. B'chol yom, long for Mashiach every day. Longing for Mashiach is longing for that intimate, revealed relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So when we say, well, the Beis HaMikdash from so many years ago, how can I feel the loss of a building? The fact that we even can't feel it, that's worthy of mourning. The fact that I daven and don't even think that I'm talking to Ribbono Shel Olam, that's worth it, a feeling. The fact that we have Jews out in this world who have left the path of Yisrael Saba, have left a tradition, that should pain us. The fact that we're living in a world that makes no sense, that should pain us. I had the opportunity this week, a very special group of young ladies that I gave a shiur to, who are
then came to Israel for a week. Ages 26 to 31, each one more beautiful than the next, inner and outer, looking for shiduchim. Wow, Churban Hashem, mercy! How much can we handle? All of this is screaming out. Our final idea of Sichot Yitzchak goes for Sri Meyer. When Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand the half of Shekel, Hashem showed him a Tzura Shel Eish, a Matbea Shel Eish. He showed him a fiery coin. To a real extent, says Rosri Meyer, all of us have that Labad Eish. We all have the Yesh Nekuda Pnimi Bito Kol Acham Yisrael. We all have the Nekuda Shel Eish, this fire within us. And our job is to take this fire and to be able to connect. On the first level, to take this fire and with that passion, see where I can build my walls to be worthy, that Klai Yisrael could be building Kidilisani, Kisimachtani Kidilisani, that I build the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. On the second level, allow my fire of yearning for the Beis HaMikdash to join with that passion, Tocha Ratzav Ava, that will be the fire of the second Beis HaMikdash and the Shema in the Beis HaMikdash that we build, the yearning for the Gula, the desire. That's taking my fire and joining it with that greater fire. And on the third level, Ki Chelek Hashem Amo, Hashem Kivyocho, is described as this fire, this Lamala Min HaTeva, above the natural order. We have godliness within us. We have this fire. We have to work on that. Our little spark is able to meet to some degree that larger fire that will spark us, that will ignite us, that will want to draw us closer and closer to that warmth of Torah, that during the 3 weeks to guard ourselves, to yearn for the Beis HaMikdash, and equally, if not more important, to yearn for the relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam and find what mitzvah can I do, what hanhaga can I do that will make me feel that intimate relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And in that schus of each and every one of us doing that, we will be zocha v'har'enu b'vinyano, that Hashem, on whatever level it may be, will allow us to see this future building of the third Beis HaMikdash.